The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, it's a new year, thank God, and with a new year comes time to think about getting a job. But how are you supposed to find employment during a pandemic when your only marketable skill is performing comedy in front of a live audience and there are no live audiences anywhere? Huh? How are you supposed to do that? I'm asking for a friend. Tim Lowe, founder and managing director of Your Next Jump, is here to tell us how he helps job seekers get employed. Tim, my friend is going to interview you to find out how to interview. Plus, mailbag! Tony Anita Hull opens up our mailbox and discovers the most piercing piece of provocative prose ever posted to us. You've got to hear it to believe it. I'm Adam Felber, the man whose steady job is keeping the show's conversational resume adding up to a successful employment in the field of coherency. And now, please welcome the woman whose LinkedIn profile identifies her as, quote, celebrated comedian, noted conversationalist, and what was that question again? Paula Poundstone! Welcome, Paula.
Thank you so much. Paula. It's so nice to be with you guys. Hey, Adam. And before we go another step, thanks to tonight's house band, returning champion Corey Springhorn on the trumpet.
Corey.
Welcome, Corey.
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 You know what's amazing about the trumpet is that there's three buttons. Three buttons. And with three buttons, they get like a bunch of, you know, I'll tell you, the thing about my Glock... My Glockenspiel? That's a whole bunch of, you know, a whole bunch of little bars on it that you plonk. This three button thing just blows me away. So thanks, Corey.
It is amazing. As far as I understand it, there's, I guess, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different positions those buttons can be in, and that makes up an octave, I'm pretty sure.
And let's not forget the different positions that the trumpet player can be in. So that adds a whole another range to it. Adam, I have for a long while had this feeling that none of what's going on right now is real. Because it can't be. Because it's too stupid.
Right.
So much of what's going on is just too stupid. It's the and how it keeps getting weirder and weirder, like in a dream. You know how, like, before you finally wake up from a dream, like, what started out as a small weirdness has become a giant weirdness? So,
oh yeah,
I have this theory, and then I heard Judy Woodruff say a little while ago on the NewsHour when they gave the prize for science to the physicists, and they were Judy Woodruff said that a black hole can swallow up time, and I'm like, well, that's what's happened. We're in a black hole. That's another theory that I have. So,
interesting.
Something to think about.
Yeah. Well, it's thought-provoking.
All right. You know how you guys paused right then before anybody said anything about my theory? There was this little uncomfortable pause. Okay. That reinforces my theory. Because you know how, like, in dreams, sometimes when you start saying to the other people in the dream, like, this is a dream, and everyone sort of, you know, backs away from you nervously, like, they know, but you're not supposed to know? That, so I get that response a lot when I tell people about my theory. They just get kind of quiet for a second, like, ah, shit, she wasn't supposed to know, and now she knows.
She knows. All right, Paula, I'm going to need you to put your hands behind your back and just walk slowly out of your house now, okay? Get into the first car that pulls up, and you'll be feeling a lot better by morning.
You know what? Everything keeps getting weirder. How is it possible that the weirdness, it exponentially, it gets weirder every day? You haven't noticed that?
Oh, well, I have noticed that. I don't think I'm going to go with black hole as the theory as to why that's happening. I might go with orange hole.
Okay, all right. But
or
look,
orange asshole.
Say this was a television show. Say all of life right now is a television show. Would you argue that it's a sci-fi television show or that it's like Brady Bunch?
Definitely a sci-fi at this point.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
See? That further buttresses my argument.
It buttresses your argument. Again, I would kind of urge you to abandon the black hole aspect of your argument, because that seems to me to be a completely different kind of phenomenon than what you're getting at.
I'm following the science, Adam.
Yeah, but the science...
No, the minute I heard Judy Woodruff say that, because I knew that black holes could swallow light. I mean, not that I understand it, but I had heard those words before. But I never heard anybody say that the black hole could swallow time. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, well, that's what it is. Absolutely.
So we're in a place where all light and time has been swallowed.
I'm assuming. We're inside the hole. If this is like Pinocchio, where they all get swallowed by the whale, and then they lit the fire, and it made the whale sneeze. Do you remember that? And it sneezed out Geppetto and Pinocchio. Do you remember that?
So absolutely.
If there's any way we could light a fire inside this black hole, and maybe it could just like spit out Trump, and then everything would be fine in the black hole.
So your operating theory is that if we could cause the black hole that we're in to sneeze us out,
we'd be fine. We're fine inside it. We just need Trump like that.
We really need to have a physicist on this show.
Yeah.
All right. And you know what? Speaking of physics, let's take this opportunity to travel through space and time. Or at least space. And we're going to go around the horn and say hi to people that make this show as special as it is. Let's go to Sherman Oaks. Tony Anita Hall, how are you?
Hey, Tony.
Good. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
It's good to be back. Yeah. I had a good New Year. I played some games on Zoom with my friends.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun. But I do have some news to share.
Fantastic. What's that?
Don't get mad.
It's the cruise again. It's the goddamn cruise.
Oh, no. Or Eddie Lucas.
My brother and Letter I booked,
speaks.
My brother and I booked a cruise for December 2021.
Oh, for God's sakes, Tony.
Well, at least it's a year away. I mean, that's better news.
We did. We booked a cruise, celebrity cruise, for New Zealand in 2021, December.
Wow.
Yeah, Tony,
wow. Well,
there's been so many, like, you book a cruise and then it's canceled, and then you book a cruise and then there's the COVID cruise and then there's the placebo. You wanted to go on the placebo cruise. I don't understand the relentless desire for the cruise.
I feel like it's a challenge now.
Oh, it's a challenge?
Yeah, but your last cruise was a miserable experience, wasn't it, Tony?
Yeah, okay, miserable strong. I now look back at it with fondness.
Oh.
Fondness. If I remember correctly, you went on a cruise. You had to delay the cruise for 4 days due to coronavirus. Then you got on the boat. I'm guessing everybody who's not named Tony Anita Hall from that cruise is dead now. And you spent the entire cruise sobbing and fighting with your cousin.
And didn't your brother leave?
Your niece.
Didn't your brother, like, get off the boat?
My brother got on the ship and then left. And then he got on the ship and then decided that it was, if he stayed on, something bad was going to happen. So he
What was the thing that prompted him to leave, though?
There were a series of several things, but the last straw was the mouse in the room. And then my brother saw the mouse twice, and he decided that that was a bad omen, given everything else that had happened. He had a drink spilled on him. Something else happened. So he got off the boat and just left my niece and I. He's like, something bad's going to happen. I'm getting off. And then he just left us on the ship.
Yeah, he's right, though.
Little did he know that the bad thing that was going to happen happened to our entire country and not just that
exactly.
boat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely right. So, yeah. You know, there's that old seafarer's expression, you know, see a mouse twice and bad stuff happens. That's, you know, that's exactly. as old as
that's a tough
sea travel.
Seafaring expression because it doesn't rhyme.
Well, yeah, it's hard to remember. Yeah. See a mouse twice.
It should be something like, see a mouse twice and it won't be nice.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll be cruising next year. For 13 days.
All right.
On the
God
other
help
half
us all.
Of the world.
Yeah.
And on that, let's turn our attention from Sherman Oaks and look northward, ever northward, into the Simi Valley, where lurks Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns, Paula's manager, our producer. They're all the same person. Bonnie, how are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year, Bonnie.
You know, I can't. The New Year's thing just means nothing to me, but I'm happy for the rest of you. Do you?
All right. That's a way to celebrate.
Yeah. Adam, do you think it's too early to look back on 2021?
Yeah, I think it's a little early for that. I like how you've managed to be a skeptic for the one holiday that has nothing to do with our country or a religion.
Yeah, but it's just that everyone, I feel like everyone, it's like we're going to see the Wizard of Oz. Everyone keeps saying, oh, 2021, it's going to get better in 2021. Everything's going to be better in 2021. No, it's not. Not individual things have to change in order for things to get better. It's not just magically going to happen. So the idea that at midnight, I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel different than you did December 31st?
No, not much. But I like to be hopeful. You know, it's a way of marking the calendar. We all have to mark our lives with various events.
So you marked your calendar on that night?
Well, yeah, I have to get a new calendar.
So you got a new calendar. You don't even use a calendar. You use the stupid computer.
You know,
I do have a wall calendar.
She's so open-minded about things. Like, personally.
No, it's just people are like, I don't know. People just keep saying stuff like mindless zombies, you know. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Oh, yeah, big fucking difference. Thanks. Yeah, to you too.
You're being such a downer about it.
Happy
it's
season
like when somebody
of change
says,
and renewal. Happy.
When somebody says,
I gotta say,
Paula,
I agree
when somebody
with
says
Adam.
Merry Christmas to me, when somebody says Merry Christmas to me, you know what I don't say? I don't say, that day doesn't mean anything to me, and most of my family was killed by purported Christians.
Well, it just was.
It's just not a cheery holiday message. I just suck it up and say Merry Christmas back.
Oh, then you guys, there's something I want to say to you.
What's that?
Happy New Year.
All right, let me go back to my previous question. We'll turn our attention from the baby New Year over there in Santa Monica to Bonnie Burns. Bonnie, what is new?
Everything is new. Everything is new for Bonnie. She's so into New Year's. Bonnie, tell them how everything is new. Tell them all the changes that have happened since New Year's.
You know, okay. No, because here's the thing. I think, I agree with you that it has nothing to do with the New Year. And I agree with Adam that all the New Year is a marking point, okay? Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I am optimistic with Biden being elected, a new administration coming in, and this idea of living in a black hole is not exactly uplifting. So,
no, you don't know anything.
To continue saying like that, when
I'm not
I'd like to be positive that things might get better, is good.
Yeah,
I'm in the rare and uncomfortable position of being in a total agreement with Captain Crinkle on this one.
I know. But Paula,
I'm not talking about a black hole like Lisa Bright and Dark. I'm talking about space, like how we might be in a different reality than we were. In black holes eat time, so does Twitter. But yeah. I think. Yeah, I'm not when I say black hole, I'm not referring to some sort of depressive. I'm referring to space.
I just hope that this episode ends like a very special episode of Paula Poundstone with you, a la Jimmy Stewart, running down the street yelling, "Happy New Year, everyone! Happy New Year, you old buildings and loan! Happy New Year!"
You know
what's
what? Really
what? Partway through this episode, I'm gonna. Take a job with Mr. Potter.
Here's the thing. This is a little ironic because I was so worried about what I was going to talk about today. And then, you know, like, could I come up with something funny? Blah, 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 blah. And compared to, like, what you're saying, for me to just go, oh, you know, the dogs have been on my nerves. Len Romo's dad makes candy on the side. He sent me a box and I ended up eating most of it. Sounds so Pollyanna compared to what we're talking about.
No, it sounds like you're having a very positive experience so far in 2021.
No, yeah, I don't look at it that way, but Adam's right. There's like marking points. Otherwise, you just have this big flood.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. I wouldn't say it like that, but at least it's been said. But Captain Crinkle, you are, in fact, just sort of punting the ball downfield by saying, I didn't have anything to say, but Paula's negativity has bailed me out.
It's not negativity. It's reality.
I want to throw up from her negativity.
Oh, my God.
But you know what would be a great thing for this new year? Paula Poundstone. Do you have a word for us?
I think you're right.
I do. I do. And I hope this isn't a downer, but this week's word is fucked.
Wait a minute. No, it isn't.
Oh, it's not fucked. I do. It's insalubrious. It's an adjective that means seedy or squalid. Oh, that's not positive. Well, how about this? Unkempt or unclean. Here, I'll use it in a sentence.
Yeah, please do.
As my work schedule has overwhelmed me, my house has become insalubrious. I could use this word a lot. So let's put it in the vocabulary song. Wait, hold on. I gotta get my glockenspiel.
Oh. Yeah, it sounds like it's there already.
No. You're just hearing echoes of... Oh, wait, I started wrong. Hold it. There it is. This week's word is insalubrious. It's an adjective that means seedy or squalid, not well kept or clean. I should have mopped up after my cesarean. Last week's word was fie. It's an exclamation used to express disgust or outrage. Fie, how can Donald Trump still be on the stage? The week before that, the word was puttanesca. It's a noun that means pasta sauce made with tomatoes, garlic, olives, anchovies, etc., said to have been devised by prostitutes as one which could quickly be cooked between clients' visits. Quick, make the sauce and get back to the toss. That's Putinesca. Going back before that, the word was perdurable. It's an adjective that means enduring continuously, permanent. The cats peed in the heating vent. And not long ago, we had piety. It's a noun that means conventional belief that is accepted without thinking. Just keep your tiny blood of Christ glasses clinking. Let's never forget gallimaufry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody, James Harder, corrected me. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge, who's podge, hodgepodge.
Who's podge?
Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, replicable, replicable. But I do, I do, I do. Woo!
Woo! Yeah!
Insalubrious.
Wow.
Yeah, insalubrious.
Insalubrious is great. You know, Paula, I'm a big fan of the word salubrious, which, as you might imagine, is just the opposite of insalubrious.
So it means clean.
It means super pleasant or healthy, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can walk into somebody's house and say, as I sometimes do, wow, you have such a salubrious home.
Oh, yeah. People love that compliment.
They sure do. At least the renegades and rebels I run with are just crazy about that. All right. Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "The crowning fortune of a man is to be born to some pursuit which finds him employment and happiness, whether it be to make baskets or broadswords or canals or statues or songs." Coming up, how to get the job that brings you your crowning fortune. That's next on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hey, everybody. As longtime listeners know, when Helix Mattresses first started sponsoring our show, Bonnie Burns somehow got the drop on me and made off with the first mattress. But in the intervening years, I have gotten myself a Helix mattress. I've had it for almost a year now, and it has improved my sleep. It has improved my life. I could not be happier. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, which I have, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, which is a mattress designed just for big and tall sleepers, and they even have mattresses made just for kids. Now, if you're like me and you were a little nervous about trying it online, or like Paula, who was screaming in fear of buying a mattress online, don't be. The Helix Sleep Quiz takes into account your individual sleep preference to match you and your partner with the perfect mattress. I took the quiz and I ended up with the great mattress for a side sleeper, the Helix Midnight Lux. Take my word for it, everybody. The Helix Midnight Lux.
Oh, don't want to take Adam's word for it. I don't blame you. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Paula, I invited you over, but you fell asleep. helixsleep.com/Paula, and if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey guys, it's Adam, and tonight is January 3rd, and I am picking Giannis Antetokounmpo to score less than 36 points and James Harden to score more than 16. Why? Because I like beards. Am I putting a lot of money on this? I am not, because I'm not really a gambler, but I am having a lot of fun with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, who I would lose to, you pick more or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, or in my case, not. So I don't bet a lot. With the basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that include 2 or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce had a 10.5 combo of 3 points made, plus receptions. Do I get that? kind of a little bit. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, that player is rebooted. So, it's like an insurance policy. Go to prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. And then drop by and see how I did with the Greek Freak and Harden again on January 3rd. My hopes are not that high. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On this day in unremarkable history, John Lennon said, "Imagine you're not in the band, Pete."
And thank you, house band Corey Springhorn. Hey, Polly, we have something in common again.
We do?
Yes, we do. We both now need jobs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess yeah. You got turned down by a variety of local grocery stores, and I've got an announcement to make, which is that, and I'm happy and sad at the same time to say this, at the end of the year, I finished writing this book I've been working on, and so I, too, am now looking for a job.
Yeah. Well, Adam, it's not easy.
No, it's tough out there. Do you have your resume all polished up?
No. Never written a resume in my life.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
No.
Oh, well, you filled out applications, but you've never had a resume to attach to it, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different than it used to be. I'm telling you, it's not the same.
That's absolutely true. But fortunately, we have someone on the phone who can help us find employment. Tim Lowe is the founder and managing director of Your Next Jump. He has over a decade of experience in business strategy and process improvement, and he is a PAR/W/CC certified resume writer. I don't even know what that means. And a professional career coach. Please welcome Tim Lowe.
Tim,
hey guys, glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. As you can hear from the slight anxiety in me and Adam's voices, it's almost an emergency. You know, Tim, looking for employment has changed a lot over the years. For example, LinkedIn keeps sending me emails, and I never look at them because I think it requires a password. And I don't think I ever even set up a LinkedIn account, so I don't have a password. Or if I did, I don't even remember because I don't know what LinkedIn is. What is it? Do I need it? Did I sign up? How do they know my name and email address?
Paula, that is a great question. Well, let me put it this way. It is. It's a great question. Here's the thing. Look, if you want food, you get on DoorDash, right? And if you want to buy something, you get on Amazon. If you want a job, absolutely get on LinkedIn. All right. Well, here's the thing about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a really good networking tool. A lot of people know that, right? It allows you to connect to people within organizations that you're not a part of. It allows you to meet with people that, you know, maybe former other alumni from the school that you've been to, that you've graduated from. It's a really good tool for networking. But I want to say one more thing about LinkedIn. A lot of people don't know why LinkedIn is really important. HR folks will always look at your LinkedIn profile before they bring you in for an interview, or they almost always will. And here's why. On that piece of paper, on that resume that you submitted that they really liked, theoretically, you could put whatever the heck you want on that piece of paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? But are you willing to say those same things on LinkedIn where previous employers, previous, previous coworkers, right? They want to know, hey, you know what? Are you legit? Are you the real thing? Right? If you can say this on paper, will you say this on LinkedIn? And so it's what LinkedIn has become and what it's grown to become is really sort of an industry standard in professional marketing and professional telling people who you are. And because so many people use it, right, it kind of snowballs. So it's become a tool that pretty much all professionals use across all different types of industries. So it would really help you a lot to get on LinkedIn, especially as you start networking.
Now, do you help people with resumes and like that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of our core things, right? I mean, the resume is really the foundation of the job search. That's the first thing that's your first impression. And so the resume is really, really important to make sure that you hit that out of the park.
And what makes a good resume?
Yeah. Okay. Well, good resume. So whenever we write a resume, there's basically, kind of two things that we really want to hit. One is, and you've seen this, I mean, kind of think about your own resume. A lot of resumes, and this is really natural, resumes tend to read sort of like job descriptions, right? People put down, these are my day-to-day activities. These are my roles and responsibilities. How many people I manage, size of the budget. These are the projects that I lead. Yeah. And of course, there's a place for that on the resume, right? But here's the thing, what we find what most employers are looking for is really answering the so what question, right? I don't want to know that you're a project manager. I want to know that you're a damn good project manager. So you can't just talk about what you do. You have to show people how well you do it, right? Let me say one thing. A really good way to test your resume is this, right? If you look at your resume and you look at the current job that you have, right? And someone else, and you just think, okay, someone else has the same job, same title as you. You guys work side by side, okay? And, every morning you're coming to work and you're killing it. The client likes you. The employer likes you. You're just solving problems every day. But this other guy, he was working with you. He's got the same title. But let's just be honest. He's pretty bad. He's kind of like, that guy in college who just kind of tags on in the group project, right?
Oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, everyone hates that guy. But you're doing all the work, and this guy is just kind of sharing in the credit, right? But the question is, now that you guys are both looking for jobs, could he on his resume, could he write exactly the same things that you have on yours?
He would. He would. He'd just copy me.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I mean, could he say, yeah, I'm responsible for overseeing this. I oversee this type of project. I serve as the liaison between this and this, and I manage this type of budget. He can say exactly those same things.
So
right?
You have to say it better than him.
Do you need more adjectives?
It's not adjectives. You got to talk about the outcomes, the results of your work, right? So maybe you can speak to something like, hey, you know what? On my performance evaluations every year, I got an exceeds expectations. I was selected to work on this certain project. I got this award, right? All of those things speak to not just what you do, but how well you do it. If you're just an IT project manager, there's a dime a dozen IT project managers. People want to know that you're a really good one. So how do you differentiate yourself? Not just by talking about what an IT manager does, because everyone knows that. They want to know the outcomes, the achievements of your work, the things that you did. What did they lead to, right? How did they make the organization better? That's what people want to know. So that's number one in resume writing.
So if you could say, like, I fixed my mother's computer by talking to her on the phone and telling her what to do, wouldn't that just be an open door to any kind of IT job? Because that's extraordinary. No one does that.
That is, I am the IT guy in my family. So that is extraordinary. And that requires a huge level of patience. I just got off the phone with my dad about an hour ago, and he's trying to figure out how to get Disney Plus on. So, and we did that over the phone, and I needed a drink after that. So.
And did you make it work for him?
Yeah. So he's watching Mulan right now.
And are you available as soon as next week for employment?
Yeah, and
it runs
anytime.
A company, Paula.
That's how it goes, Tim. Something like that. You just put that in there. Something extraordinary.
That's right. That's right.
Are there common resume mistakes?
Yeah, absolutely. So that leads me to the second goal, right? Here's the thing. You'll see a lot of resumes. A common mistake that people make is they put something. You see them on the top of the resume, an objective statement. Right? I am seeking to use my skills to further blah, 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 blah. Right? Mm-hmm. Take that out. Those are outdated. Here's why. Objective statements focus on what you want. But at this stage, when you're looking for a job, do you think the employer gives a damn what you want? No. They don't care. They want to know.
What?
Yeah, they want to know, Adam, what do you bring to the table? Paula, what are you going to do for me? right? That's what they want to know. So replace that objective statement and put a title.
I usually bring mac and cheese.
Well, that'll get you the job.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
homemade.
Ooh, that sounds good. But
notice.
Yeah. I mean, put a title, right? Put a title. You have a lot of different skills, but that job posting might be asking for something very specific, right? So let's say you're a senior marketing person, you got a lot of experience in marketing, and you got skills in change management, you got skills in campaign management, go-to-market strategy, you have skills in project management, but this specific position is asking for project management. You should put a title at the top of your resume, senior marketing manager, project management expertise, right?
So you just change it.
Yeah.
So you to match the title. And how long is this resume? This sounds like a book.
No. So here's the thing. One, 2 pages, you definitely don't want more than 2 pages. Look, President Obama could put his resume on 1 page, right? So we could probably do the same thing. But here's the thing. People always ask me that. Tim, 1 or 2 pages. Here's what I tell them. Function drives form, right? You could build a beautiful chair, but if you sit in it and it's not comfortable, what's the point? So the same thing with the resume. The function of the resume is to make the case that you are the best candidate. And so if it takes 1 page or it takes 2 pages, that's good. But if you start putting stuff about internships and being an RA in college and you're 20 years out of school, nobody cares about that stuff, right? So put that stuff, put all that stuff away, right? Put the things. People want to know in the last 5 years, 8 years, they want to know, they don't want to know that you were good 20 years ago. They want to know, are you good now? So focus on those things. But like
Does
I said,
anybody have an eraser?
Yeah, I need one too.
I just want to take the poetry reading contest win in the 8th grade off of my resume. Hey, you know what? I think this is as good a place as any to take a break and come back.
Yeah. All right, then. Our friend Seth Godin, who is on the show, says, turning your passion into your job is easier than finding a job that matches your passion. Stay tuned to find out how to land the job you are passionate about. The cat of the week is Dirty Kitty from Echo Park, California.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Holly and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
And we are back with Tim Lowe, founder and managing director of Your Next Jump. And he's been giving us some great pointers about how to get a job. Tim, what else should we know?
Yeah. I mean, if the resume is really, really hard to read, right? Think about it. Typically, in a current job before, you know, COVID, you know, every job you apply to, maybe there's 150, 250 candidates that are applying. Now, there's less jobs. There's more people applying. There's going to be 300, 400 people. If I'm the HR person and I'm looking at 400 resumes or even 300 resumes, do you think I'm going to spend 1 minute on each resume? No way, right? I mean, that's 5 hours. So here's the thing. When someone picks up your resume, within 5, maybe 8 seconds, it has to be crystal clear the answer to these two questions. What is it that you're trying to do? And what do you bring to the table as it pertains to the specific position that you're targeting?
You know what I think you can take a tip from? Are you ever at a bar and you go to the bathroom and you sit down in the stall and right in front of your face on the door, there's a note from Sandy and it says, call me, and there's a phone number?
Right.
And, you know, she doesn't go on and on about who's called her before. It's not, it's so clear, it's so immediate. You don't find yourself going, wait, let me read, some other parts of the wall. You just go, let me get Sandy's number then.
I gotta tell you, Paula, and I think that Tim can back me up. If Sandy's number is there, but then, you know, there's something that says, for a good time, call Mary. I'm probably calling Mary and not Sandy because Mary's been specific that there will be a good time.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a good point. But my point is, you know, they don't go on and on with what college they went to, with with all of their skills. I don't think anybody wants to know about all of their skills. They just want to know, what are you going to do for me?
That's right, and so usually it's accompanied by a very simple, crude but effective line drawing.
Yeah, sometimes. I think that if I ever have a resume writing company, it'll be called Off the Bathroom Door Resume Writing.
Well, so Tim, I think you're relatively safe from competition.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, let's make this specific to Paula Poundstone. And as an adjunct to Adam Felber, what can we do?
Yeah.
What should we do? What are we not doing? Here we are, vaunted, well-known entertainment professionals, one much more well-known than the other. But we need jobs. We need jobs. Our industry is sort of mostly, if not all, shut down.
So here's the thing. Always focus on your resume. At the top half of your resume, focus on the skills that they're looking for.
Well, let's talk about Paula's skills. Let's take a hypothetical job. Paula, what kind of job are you looking for now?
Well, wait a minute. I have good news.
What?
I think I can keep it to one page. In fact, I think I could make it fit in that very small section right next to Sandy's phone number in front of the toilet in the bar.
Now, Tim, can we Can we take Paula's skill set and make it sound more professional?
Well, here's the thing. I got to know what job Paula's applying to, right?
Paula, and what are you applying to?
That's where we start thinking.
I don't know. What's available, Tim?
What do you got?
I've thought at one time or another, maybe I could go into advertising. Mm-hmm. My problem is that I kind of loathe advertertising, but
you don't want to lead with that. You don't want to lead with that, I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, no, I'll keep that to myself. But I've thought maybe I could go into advertising, right? Yeah. So what if I was to do copywriting? Is that a thing in advertising? Or coming up with what did Darren Stevens used to do? The whole campaign. Coming up with the whole advertising campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim,
could I do that?
Tim, you have 30 seconds. How does Paula get a job in advertising?
Well, we got to look at what that job posting is asking for, but definitely put a title right at the top. You know, all of a sudden, you know, if you put something like, creative marketing professional, right? And that does describe you. You do marketing. You're very creative. And then whatever that job posting is asking for, you have that skill, add that skill plus expertise or experience or something like that, right? So again, a lot of it depends on what the job posting is asking for.
Well, they want a brilliant, a brilliant creative ad person to help put together campaigns.
Gotcha. Yeah. So just put something like maybe at the end, communications expertise, something like that. That's something that you're really good at.
Also,
right?
It says 4 to 5 years experience required.
Oh, shit. I know. How about this, Tim? How about if I write, I once met Spuds McKenzie? Will that pull any? Have any sway?
I think that'll do it. I think that you're hired. So
yeah, yeah.
Hey, Adam brought up one thing I just want to mention really quickly, where he said, you know, the job posting is asking for 4 to 5 years of experience. Here's
yeah,
one thing
do
that
I do
we
about
see.
That?
Here's one thing that we see a lot. We see people that there's kind of two extremes. One of them is they see a job posting, it asks for 4 or 5 years experience, but they only have 3. And in their head, they're like, I don't have 4 or 5. I'm not going to apply. All of a sudden, they screen themselves out. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't screen yourself out. Let them screen you out. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Because here's the thing. What are people really looking for? Are they looking for you to have 4 or 5 years of experience?
Yes.
Or no?
No. What they're looking for you to solve their problem.
Exactly.
Whoa. And if you can, I want to change my answer to hers.
If you can show them that you have 1 year experience and you're able to do that, then you're in. So don't just take that shot. And then the other extreme is this. There's people who do this. They see a job posting, they read through everything, and they said, I am a perfect fit. There's no way they won't hire me. So they apply for the job, they submit their resume, they're like, this is great. I'm going to kick back and I'm going to apply to this one job. And then 4 weeks later, they get a letter that says, thanks, but no thanks. And they're devastated. And I don't understand why. I met all the requirements. I exceeded all the requirements and they didn't even give me a call. But here's the thing. Hundreds of other people could have met that requirement.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so here's when you do a job search, you can't just apply to one or two jobs. You got to be strategic. You got to be surgical and you have to be disciplined. Looking for a job is a full-time job in and of itself. And so you need to, I tell this guy, you know, I tell him, look, put 20 paper clips in this cup. And every night before your head hits that pillow, you know, you need to apply to 20 jobs. So move each paper clip. Every time you apply to a job, move it into a new cup.
You're making more work.
I'm telling you, but
hey,
this
you
is
were
it.
Replying, you're applying for the jobs. And now you have me moving paper clips and I'm doing it for free, Tim.
It's free. But it's a visual reminder and it helps you. And it helps you.
Oh, that sounds clever.
I can move paperclips. I mean, I should even put that on my resume. But let's move on. Let's get to the point.
Wait, you know, I just want to say one thing. If I said that I had 4 or 5 years experience and I didn't, then what I would do is during the interview, when they realized, like, well, you don't have 4 or 5 experience, I would say, I thought you meant dog years.
Great.
And that way they see I can think outside of the
That's
box.
Brilliant.
It's
brilliant.
Yeah. So,
but don't lie on your resume.
Let's get to the thing that
don't lie on your resume?
Never.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Let's get to the thing that Paula and I have not gotten to yet, which is the interview.
Yeah.
Assuming that Paula and I ever get to an interview. And I guess the Stop and Shop where Paula applied didn't want to get to the interview phase, and it's never happened for me on LinkedIn. What are the
Trader Joe's and Vaughn's? Trader Joe's and Vaughn's. They wanted nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with her.
Joe didn't want to trade with me in any way.
what do you do? What's the do's and don'ts of a good interview?
Yeah, that's a great question. All right, so the ideal candidate, we kind of simplify it. We call it there's three C's that everyone really is essentially looking for, and we call it character, chemistry, and competency. Right. So character is, you know, are you authentic? Do you have integrity? You know, chemistry, are you easy to work with? Are you coachable? You know, are you a good culture fit? And competency really is, you know, look, can you do the job, right? Applied knowledge, you know, proven skills, you have the ability to learn. And then once you get into the interview, right, think about those three C's for every portion of the interview. And every interview essentially is broken down into three components. There's the narrative, right? What is the first thing they say to you at an interview? Tell me about yourself, Adam, right? And they're not looking for you to say, yeah, you know, I went to school here, and then I worked here, and then this is where my next job was, and currently this is what I'm doing.
So you're saying you want to be more concise than that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, what they're looking for, and when they ask you that question, and that's the break the ice question. They want to know, Adam, in 30 seconds, why are you sitting across the table from me? What makes you relevant for this position? And then the second part of the interview is the technical, right? Do you have the skills? Right. And so for all the skills that you have, you know, give specific examples. But sometimes you don't have those skills too. Right. Never take the blame for not having the opportunity to gain certain skills. Instead, you know, guide the employer through some other skills that may be relevant to what they're looking for. Right. Mm-hmm. And a good thing to do is use some emotion words. I enjoy. I feel comfortable. I am passionate about. I love. Right. People love to work with people who care about what they're doing. And then the last thing, even in this technical portion of it, is you can show character. You can show some personality. Even for the questions that are competence-driven, you know, try to show a little bit of personality behind it. And I think you guys would both do really well.
Yeah, we're going to be fine with that. Are there any big no-nos, you know, big mistakes you can make in the interview?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times people ask some tough questions, right? Maybe they'll ask you a question like, hey, what's your greatest weakness? What's your greatest weakness, Adam? Right? And so
I care too much.
Yeah, that's a big mistake. People say that, you know. Actually, I get really involved in the work. I care too much, and sometimes I neglect other things around in my life. But that, at the end of the day, come on, let's be honest. That's a humble brag.
Of course.
Nobody really does. Yeah. So what you really
you saw right through that, Tim.
Exactly, right? So what you really want to do is you want to show that you're human, because everyone in that room is human, right? So you want to talk about something that is real. So for example, what I say when people ask me that question is, hey, you know what? When I was a manager early on in my career, one of the things that I really struggled with was micromanaging. I just didn't trust my staff. I would always look over the shoulders. I would always be asking questions about, you know, what are you doing? You know, why'd you do this? What'd you do this? And it would annoy the hell out of them. And the thing though is, as a human, I quickly recognized that I was doing that. And so what I did was I took some steps to mitigate that. I said, okay, hey, instead of me asking you questions all the time, let's have a meeting every Friday. You know, we'll debrief, we'll talk through things. And if you guys need to talk to me during the week, feel free. But I'll leave you alone during
Tim,
that time.
Tim, that's a great weakness. Can I use that one?
Yeah.
So let me ask you something, Tim. Right now, I'm going to ask you to do a little role playing with for
Uh-oh.
Me.
All right. All right.
You are the head of the creative department at a major advertising company. Paula Poundstone is going to walk into the office. Somehow she got this interview. Would you interview Paula, and we'll see how she does?
All right. Well, hey, Paula, welcome to the interview. What brings you here?
Oh, you know what? I almost didn't get here. You know, that fucking elevator, I couldn't find the name of the company at first on the elevator. Like, it's not near where the elevator is. And so I went to the wrong floor. I'm sorry I'm late. I sat in the wrong office for about 30 minutes. I was actually going to be early. Which, you know, is huge for me. I was going to be early. I sat in the wrong office for about 30 minutes before somebody finally came out and said, what are you doing here? Do you know the people who work on the level above us? Do you know those people, the guy, you know, the guy who he looks a little pasty. right up
Paula, I'm going to say you should probably let your interviewer ask you a question now.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Tim.
My mistake. Yeah.
All right. Well, 30, good.
30-second answers if you can, Paula, but this is great.
Yeah. I'm so glad to be here.
All right.
I'm really glad to be here.
Well, good. Why don't we do this? Let's assume we've asked a few questions now, right? And
okay.
We ask you, you know, why do you want to leave your current job?
Well, I loved my job. It's just that people can't gather in large groups anymore. And so I can't entertain them. It's really hard to do my job without a large group. I've been going house to house, but it's not, you know, not everyone opens the door.
That's actually a really good answer. And so the reason why I was going to say that's a good answer is this. A lot of people talk about things that are negative, right? They might just say, well, you know, the company culture there just wasn't very good. You know, I didn't find a really good fit there. Never say those things. Always take things that, even if it was a negative, make it a positive, right? Talk about something that was really good. Hey,
that's good,
you know what?
Dating advice too.
Yeah.
You don't want to
yeah.
tell your date, every woman I've ever met is insane.
Yeah, because they don't know if those women were insane or if you are insane.
No,
right?
Pretty much means you're insane, doesn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
But do you want to continue the interview? I think you need to ask Paula about relevant experience now, right?
Yeah. So, Paula, tell me a little bit about your experience.
Well, you know, I had a podcast for a long time, and I did some advertising there. You know, there was a copy written, but then they asked us for our, you know, personal experience as well. And so I did, you know, some of that. And of course, on my website, I have a store and I do all the promotion for that. And, you know, I'm doing, in terms of sales, easily $5-$10 a week. Yeah, like for have you ever heard about my tri-poly blend T-shirt? It's remarkably soft. It has a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back. And I came up with all that language on my own. And those babies, well, I wouldn't say they fly off the shelf, but, you know, at least one a month.
Okay, now Tim, let's pretend that you somehow fight your way out of this interview. Let's step back now. And what tips can you give Paula? What'd she do well? What could she have done better in this job interview?
Wait, Tim, isn't it time to negotiate my salary? And this is when I look at you from across the table and I go, look, asshole, the guy on the floor above you will hire me like that. So I want $200,000 a year, just right off the bat, and then an opportunity for growth. What do you got for me?
Hey, actually, that's really good. So whenever we talk about salary negotiations, there's three no's, right? And so what I mean is the K-N-O-W, the no's. And Paula, you just hit on one of them. One is know how much, right? Research the market. Paula knows that guy's going to offer her $200,000. She knows her value. She already knows that she's worth, you know, in terms of salary, she's worth $200,000.
So, I got to tell you, Tim, she pulled that number out of her ass.
Well,
100%.
Well, don't do that. Research the market, research the industry, you know, look at the locale. Look, there are tons of tools that are available, right? Do your homework. Use tools like salary.com, glassdoor.com. Understand the market, the industry rates, you know, for your specific location, right? If you're in New York City versus Omaha, you know, it's a different salary. So kind of understand those types of things, right? And then all these tools like Glassdoor, they allow you to look at other candidates, what their similar experience was and their educational background. And they'll tell you, yeah, you know, for people with this many years of experience or, you know, with this type of title, you know, this is the average salary. This is the high point. This is the low point. This is all data that people are anonymously giving. And so this is really important. So that's the number one no. The second no is no when. Paula, you just aced the interview. You have the most leverage once the job offer is made. We've given you the offer. Right? I've spent the time. I've interviewed, you know, I've screened 300 candidates. I've interviewed five. You know, I spent 2 weeks doing all this. We know that Paul is the one. Now is the time to ask for that money. Using the knowledge that you have, ask for that high end. Because at this point, look, at the end of the day, $10,000, that's going to be a lot for you. $10,000 for the company, that's not much. They already know that they want you. And the third no is no, what else? Because sometimes they might just say, look, we don't have the budget for that, right? But there are other things you can ask for. Vacation time, telework days, signing bonuses, moving expenses. Those are all other things that could feed into your total compensation. So if they say no to one thing, you know, don't come back with a number. Say, well, what is in the budget, right? What do you guys have budgeted for this role, right? And they're always going to come back somewhere between this range and this range, right? And ask for that and say, well, you know what? You know, if you've had other offers, you say, yeah, you know, I've had a few offers, you know, but I really am interested in this company. Would you be willing to offer a signing bonus? Maybe a $10,000 signing bonus, as long as I stay for a year.
You
I
know
get
what
keep-
I say? Say they say to me, they go, look it, we don't have any more than $1 million a year. And then I would act kind of disappointed. I go, oh, okay, that's rough. Okay. And then I would say this. I mean, I would look the guy right in the eye, and I might even tear up a little bit. And I would say, will you throw in a kitten?
Good.
Just throw in a kitten and you got me.
Well,
that's good, isn't it? Because you know what you wanted.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some vacation.
Throw in a kitten.
And some vacation.
Give me
days.
A chance to meet Bryan Cranston. Just have Bryan Cranston stop by my office, you know, once a month or so. And I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what you want, ask for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why Bryan Cranston wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you want Bryan Cranston either. But
no, why he wouldn't. No, oh, I okay. love Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't he?
Because I watch Breaking Bad every night. Well, this has been so helpful to... You know what's weird? I mean, I have no skills, and yet I feel confident that I could get a job right now.
I do, too, awesome. And I'm sure this illusion will fade in the morning. But while it's hot, I want to say, Tim, thanks for the job you did teaching us how to find jobs. We're going to now take the information that you gave us, and we're going to run it through the old Pouncedonator. Paula?
All right, Corey, our house band. If you can take another position with that horn and give me a little background music, I'll tell you what came out of the Pouncedonator. Tim was really fun, informative, and confidence building. What if somehow my LinkedIn profile was enough to attract the interest of NASA? Let's listen in on my dialogue with the NASA director and my internal dialogue with myself. Your LinkedIn profile and resume stood out to me to be a lunar frontierswoman. Tell me more about yourself. Internal voice, don't lie. Just rebrand. Me, I have successfully flown over 10 million miles. I enjoy camping and I wear a hat even in bed. So I'm not at all concerned about helmet hair. Plus, I believe I've been in a black hole for at least 5 years. And I wore diapers on a drive up to Portland just a few months ago. NASA director, why do you want to leave your job on this planet? My internal voice, don't say anything negative. Don't say anything negative. Don't say anything negative. Me, I love the Earth. I love my stand-up comedy job. But honestly, neither one is guaranteed anymore. The Earth is... Fuck. Van Morrison has made 3 anti-lockdown songs. Van Morrison, one of my favorite musicians in the world. For several months when my daughter was a baby, I took Polaroid pictures of her in the same place every day or couple of days. And my friend Marcia filmed the pictures and set them to the Van Morrison song, Brown Eyed Girl. On the dark side of the street, Jackie Wilson said, Virgo clown cleaning windows, that Van Morrison. He's making anti-lockdown songs. How fucking stupid is that? Internal voice, what the fuck? That was negative, and it's too long. NASA director, what would you say is your biggest weakness? Internal voice, short answer, short answer. Me, I suck. NASA director, thank you for coming in. Internal voice, the interview is the best time to negotiate the salary. Me, I'll do it for $5 a week, a truckload of Fritos, and a 12-pack of Diet Pepsis a day.
Fantastic. That was great, Paula. He's the founder and managing director of Your Next Jump. Just go to yournextjump.com to find out all about it. Thanks for being on our show, Tim Lowe, everybody.
Thank Tim, you so this much. Was so much fun.
Thanks, it was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Great.
You were great.
Coming up, mailbag. Tony Anita Hull opens up our first listener mailbag of the brand new year and pulls out a provocative piece of prose. That's coming up right after this.
Wait a minute. It's the first one of the new year?
Yes, Paula. It's the first one of the new year.
Oh, my God. It's gonna be amazing. It's going to be
amazing.
Wait until you, listeners, brace yourselves, because this is the harbinger of all that is to come.
Somebody needs a visit from three ghosts of New Year's. And that's coming up right after this.
Listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun fact, the longest word in the English language is a protein whose name is 189,819 letters long. It takes 3.5 hours to say the word out loud, after which someone inevitably says, huh, can you use that in a sentence? All right. Well, that'll happen once in a while. All right.
Do you want a sound effect at the end of that?
Nope. No, I don't need a sad trombone.
No, I like that joke.
Thank you. And we're back. It's time for Mailbag. Thank you, Paula. That's probably our best theme song on this show. As our listeners know, every once in a while, Paula and I like to reach into the mailbag, although we don't feel comfortable reaching into the mailbag by ourselves. That's why we have Tony Anita Hull to brave that mailbag.
Oh, shit, I hate that.
For us. Tony, what you want to step on up to that mic and tell us what you found in the mailbag?
Yes, I do. This first email is kind of long, so bear with me, because I think it's worth reading the whole thing. Are you ready? Okay. Here we go. Buckle in. In 2020, no podcast documents the deteriorating mental health of America better than Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Before COVID, Paula and co-host Adam Felber interviewed experts on topics ranging from finance to trees, summarizing their wisdom humorously while producers Tony Anita Hull and Bonnie Burns giggled and unwrapped noisy candy bars in the background, respectively. However,
yes.
In March, when the coronavirus struck, the team was forced to record from home, And unfortunately, it's not going well. What was once a joyfully zany hour of laughs and advice has become a disturbingly unhinged 90-plus minutes of shouting, denuded hand puppet monologuing, and sordid callers vying for Adam's friendship, each more petulant and perturbing than the last. Paula, once a household name for her stand-up comedy, has started looking for service jobs and is currently nursing a resentment towards Vaughn's, a local supermarket who, on receiving Miss Poundstone's application for cashier, said, quote, "We're going in a different direction." But Paula isn't the only one in decline. Adam's trademark resolve to keep the show on topic has all but disappeared. Once the master of skillful segues and keeping an eye on the clock, he now says things like, quote, "I don't even know what's going on anymore." And at times screams into the phone, "Shut up, Bonnie. Shut the fuck up." His frustration with Captain Crinkle, a.k.a. Bonnie Burns, Paula's manager of 28 years, is understandable. While Bonnie claims to have had a successful career in show business, citing weekly weight loss strolls with Cher, it's clear that she has now entered into the gray gardens phase of her success. She'll casually mention, for example, that she hasn't washed her hair in months, or that she's been in the same spot on the couch for multiple days, or perhaps, most shockingly, that she's left a small piece of plastic in her ear canal for so long, the doctors reported has started merging with her brain, causing fits of disjointed Googling and late night emails. As a listener, it's clear that this woman desperately needs medical attention. Yet even Paula, her professional partner of almost three decades, seems more amused than concerned. The only person whose mental and physical health seem relatively intact is Tony Anita Hall, who records the show from her studio apartment in Sherman Oaks. Tony is clearly a kind, patient, and generous producer, yet the chaos of the podcast has driven even her to an almost suicidal state, evidenced by her upcoming coronavirus-themed cruise to Mexico. Bon voyage, Tony. Enjoy 7 days upon Royal Caribbean's death wish of the seas, and may you never have to return to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone ever, ever again. Signed, Billy, concerned nobody in Hollywood, California.
Oh.
Wow.
Billy, just, that was fantastic.
That was really fantastic. Billy, I just want to say to you, though, that some of that deterioration had started to take place before COVID, just in our defense. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Billy, that was fantastic.
I wish it wasn't too long for a show description, because it's very good.
It's so right on. I think Billy has earned himself a Thomas Coin.
Honestly, I think so. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Yeah, Billy, send us your postal address so we can send you a Thomas Coin. That's a good idea.
Wow.
You know, I think Billy Fuckface got me a little incorrect.
Whoa.
You know, Billy, wow, I'm think pretty it was, sure. I think it was...
I don't think that's his last name.
Yeah, it was an amazingly accurate portrait of our show.
And I agree.
I want to thank you so much, Billy. You know, sometimes Bonnie, it's hard to look in the mirror, but I think that Billy has forced us into the looking glass here. My gosh. No,
I don't think he gets the comedy slant of my character, although it is true that because nobody sees me every day, maybe I have worn the same T-shirt for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. What difference does it make?
Well, if there was anybody near you, it would make a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you haven't moved off that section of the couch in quite a while. They actually installed, the doctor installed a tiny camera in Bonnie's ear so that they can identify the things that get stuck in there.
Just watching from the office. I like that Bonnie wants us to believe that this is a character she's playing, but she did get that thing stuck in her ear.
Yeah, she's the Robert De Niro of podcasters, because she so took
method.
On the role, yeah. The comedic role that she plays on our show, that she actually went to the doctor. You know, a lot of people would, you know, drop it when they were not recording anymore. But Bonnie.
No, the thing about the thing in my ear was because I pulled out the headset and the little spongy thing got left in there. How was I supposed to know?
Well, because it wasn't on your headphone anymore.
Okay, but you know
what? Who looks at that?
It did happen to me only a few weeks later, but I didn't leave it in there. That's the difference between you and me. Let me ask you something. How do you explain the Nerf bullet that they pulled out of your ear? How do you explain that? The Nerf
the
bullet.
What?
The Nerf the bullet.
I hear you.
All right. You know, Tony, Leah, let's reach back into that mailbag because I think.
But I just want to.
I think we're done probing around Bonnie's ear.
I just want to tell Billy that that's not a COVID problem, because before COVID, you know, Bonnie used to come to my house sometimes, and a lot of times, some small things would be missing from my house after she left. And then they would show up again sometime after she had a doctor's appointment. So that's not a new thing.
Yeah. That predates COVID. All right, Tony, what else is in that mailbag?
Mailbag.
This is from Jody.
Jody?
Dopey?
Jody.
Bunny, can I ask you something? Are you missing a sock? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A mitten, a glove.
Oh, man.
Billy, I dare you to stay sane with this crap happening.
Okay.
What? Read it up there, Tony.
Jody. I've been listening to your back catalog, and tonight I got to the New Year's Eve 2018 episode. It's almost cute how terrible you thought things were back then, Jody.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Right. Yeah. What the hell did we know? Nothing.
No, that predated the coronavirus. That predated the, obviously, the election that still isn't over. Wow. Yeah, you know, you're right, Jody. You make a good point.
Yeah, we were babes in the woods back in 2018. We knew nothing of despair.
We knew we had no idea how good we had it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, one time in 2018, I just cut my leg off with an axe accidentally. And looking back, I'm nostalgic for that.
Yeah.
I feel good like those times. Were the good old times.
We didn't know how good we had it. All right, Tony, what else is in there? Mailbag.
So this is from Mark Horn. Hello, Paula. You know, I used to think it was painful but comical about your accidental nipple piercing from your cat. That was until it just happened to me. Ow. I now have a new level of respect for you. Happy New Year to you and the staff at NLTPP.
Oh, my gosh. Mark! That was your first cat nipple piercing of 2021. Oh, my heavens. The changes that 2021 has wrought.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah. He used to have his nipples pierced by a hamster. But this is a big step up.
Yeah.
Mark Horn. Wait a minute. That's really his name, Mark Horn? Don't we usually go around him in the beginning of the show?
We do not.
Yeah. I just wanted to repeat the word show so people knew what this was. Okay. Mailbag.
All right, Tony, is there anything else at the bottom of that mailbag?
Oh, shit. That was my first Glockenspiel fuck-up of 2021.
Oh, there will be more.
I feel so different. You know, forgive me if I've not been myself in this episode. I just feel so different.
No, I think you're more or less yourself. If being yourself means beating a gag into the ground. But Tony, do you have anything else in that mailbag?
I couldn't have beat it into the ground. I couldn't have, because it's the beginning of the year. I mean, if I'm still doing by, I don't know, May, then I think you could say I've beaten it into the ground. But no, this is very early on in the year, Adam. This is everything we do now has a patina of new.
It sure does have that new year smell, doesn't it?
It does.
Tony, what do you got?
I do have one more. It's from a Nick Mazakua. Sorry, Nick, I butchered your name. Anyway, so Nick says, "Hi, Paula. The tones you play on the Glockenspiel to introduce your vocabulary song would make a great ringtone. Happy New Year, Nick."
That's a really good idea,
Nick. Are you serious?
And I know just the person to put it up on the iTunes things where you buy the ringtone.
Yeah, we could have two ringtones.
Oh, that would be great. You know what works so good about that?
It's essentially a doorbell.
Is we have...
It's essentially a doorbell. It's nothing. It's not a ringtone. It's not even a tune. It was the same last year, and here in 2021, it's the same thing. It's just a ding-dong. It's two notes on a Glockenspiel. Don't encourage her, Mark.
Okay, how about this? How about if it's 2021 calling? "2021, sparkly, bright, full of opportunity, 2021.
I'm just gonna I'm going back to 2020, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Not me. I'm moving to Georgia and voting for Kelly Loeffler.
All right. Well, Tony, thank you. That was a fantastic job on the mailbag. Mailbag.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks to all the nobodies, Nick, Jody, Mark, and Billy, who took the time to contact us for the mailbag.
Mailbag. God damn it. Hey, Paula Poundstone, besides your great Glock skills, what else is going on in the Poundstone product empire this week?
Well, Adam, there's always a bit of post-holiday depression when one realizes nobody got me anything from the store at paulapoundstone.com. But remember your New Year's resolution. You're going to take care of your own life. So go on over to paulapoundstone.com and get your needs met. Watch some videos, grab a remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back. I'd tell you more, but Heidi.
No. That's completely understandable.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. What? You know what? There's a... Hello?
What's up?
Oh, my God! Adam, you're not going to believe who just walked into my house.
What?
Hey, Adam. Hey.
Yes?
Hey, Adam. Adam Philbin.
Yeah. Who's this?
It's me. It's me, Holly Jolly Dolly. How you doing?
Who?
Dolly Parton, you know. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. Of course, y'all wouldn't know anything about that. You're podcasters. You work a little over an hour once a week. Working 5 to 6, what a way to make a living.
Dolly, that's not true at all. Making a podcast is a lot of work.
It is?
Yeah, we have meetings to plan segments.
There's segments?
Yeah, yeah. We decide on guests. We book the guests.
Really? Because I just showed up. I was hoping to talk to Bryan Cranston. I was walking through the alley and Paula's dog was acting like Bryan Cranston was in the backyard. I was so excited. I just come on in.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, usually we invite the guests.
Oh, no. You don't want me. That hurts my feelings, Adam.
Oh, no, no, no. That's not what I meant. I mean, obviously we're happy to have you, Dolly.
Am I in a segment? I'd love to be in one of y'all's segments.
Yeah, yes, you're definitely in a segment.
Working 5 to 6, finding guests for segments.
There's a little more to it than that. We have to test the products that we advertise, for example.
Well, Adam, how long could that take? Working 5 to 6, taking women's vitamin supplements. You're going to grow ovaries if you're not careful.
I'm going to what?
Grow ovaries?
If you're not careful. I don't take the women's vitamins.
Good. That frees up some more time. Plus, you won't get cramps.
I don't mean it took a long time. I just mean there's a lot more to it than you were assuming. That's all, Dolly.
I wouldn't have guessed it, and I've been listening before. Well, I'm just about convinced Bryan Cranston isn't here. Paula's dog is just plain dishonest. I've got to get to work, and I know you have a lot to do.
I guess I do. Thanks for stopping by, Dolly.
Oh, sure. Working 5 to 6:30, what a way to make a podcast.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, Paula, that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, boy, she's listened before. Dolly's
you didn't even sound surprised
before.
That you had Dolly Parton walk into your house.
Well, you know, my dog, she lures people in. She's always pretending that Bryan Cranston's back there, and he's a big star.
All right. You know, Dolly says that it only takes us an hour and a half, but Paula, you know, I'm involved in a pursuit that takes almost exactly 3 hours these days. And that, of course, is the Starburn Sports Simulcast, which we do weekly now, me and Jeff Cesario. We simulcast an NFL football game, usually on Thursday nights, but check us out over on my Twitter feed, at Adam Felber, or over at starburnsports.com, which is where we actually run the audio portion of the game.
Nice.
Well, thank you. Okay, you can subscribe to this podcast. Just, you know, hit the subscribe button. If you want to enter a theme song contest or send us something else, like some of those that great mailbag stuff, you do that at nobodylistenspaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Once again, that's nobodylistenspaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam LeFelber. Special thanks to our guest, Tim Lowe. And thanks to our house band, Corey Springhorn. Our show is Yay! Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Working 3 to 4, what a way to make a living.
Dum 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 bum 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 bum.
It's hard to get that tune out of your head once it gets in there. And I hear it's hard to get Dolly Parton out of your house once she gets in. So I would check the doors and the windows before you go to sleep tonight.
It was so nice to have her here, even just briefly.
I hear that she's always well-dressed. Is that true in this case?
Oh, she looks fantastic. She looks fantastic, and I'm such an admirer of hers. I got her Christmas album this year. No, last year. My mistake.
Did you? That was like a year ago, though, right?
It was a long time ago now. Now we're, you know...
It was last year.
Hold on. Let me check the hash marks I've put above my sleeping area on the wall. So what have you been using? A calendar?
Yeah, Paula, yeah. A calendar.
I keep track of time like Dr. Manet...
in A Tale of Two Cities. Yeah. It's, you know, everything. I'm sorry I was a little late for recording today. Everything is so bright and new to me. I just can't.
I love that you were just singing 9 to 5, which is another meaningless way to mark time. But you're in favor of the clock.
I love the clock. I love the calendar. I just think this idea that people make a fuss over New Year's is kind of silly. That's all. I like to write things down.
Well, you should have said something.
Starburns Audio, a podcast. A podcast network.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.